Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery.
Tonight, we'll talk about where we've been and where we're going.
We'll also talk about new beginnings, birthdays, and anniversaries. So, hello. Welcome back.
Hi. Remember us?
It's been a while. At least it feels like it.
Yeah, it really, yeah. Sorry we've missed most of January, but... Yeah.
But we're here now. I'm really excited to be recording again.
I know. It's really, really nice. Should we talk about where we've been, what's been going on with us?
Yeah, definitely. Just a little explanation. I mean, for me, it's just been work and craziness. That's about it. You know, nothing special, just... Mm-hmm. Nothing as crazy as what you've been dealing with.
Right. Well, you've had the holidays, which is really, really bad, because you work retail.
Yes.
Which... The holidays, like through mid-January, is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all Christmas and then all returns.
Right.
So, it's bad. And then for me, for those who follow the blog, you probably know already, but my wife is pregnant with our second child and had to go to the hospital because they thought she was in preterm labor, which thankfully they were able to slow everything and hold up. And keep the baby, you know, in the womb. Baby's still in the womb. We're still good. Baby was due mid to late March, and this was, you know, beginning of January. So that, you know, the viability was not great. We found out that, you know, if the little girl had come, she would have probably been okay because we were right around the corner from the newborn intensive care unit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something they didn't want.
Obviously, yeah.
Right. And so right now we're getting closer and closer to a good due date. If we can get her into February, we're probably okay.
And, yeah, but right she now. Was on bed rest and you were home from work and
and
with your son. So yeah,
having an 18-month-old while dealing with all this was not easy either. On him, it was really difficult. He, you know, he had some real disrupted sleep patterns and some tough time adapting. But mm-hmm. He's okay.
Good. And you're okay.
Yes. Wife is still on bed rest, which that can be kind of difficult because it means she can't lift our son or do a whole lot around the house. So I'm sort of acting as her hands and her legs when I am home, which means I have a lot less time for doing things like the podcast.
Right.
But that being said, I'm determined, banging fist on table, not loudly enough to make... the track jump. But banging fist on table, I'm determined that we will be back on a regular schedule. And to that end, we've actually got some really cool guests lined up.
Yes, we do.
So that's going to make us put out regular episodes. all right. So what is our topic tonight, Lane?
We are talking about birthdays, New Year's, anniversaries.
All right. Where should we be? We probably should begin with New Year's.
Yes.
What did you do for your New Year? Anything special?
I got gussied up and watched Bones. That was about it. I did put some new glitter eyeshadow on. That was pretty fun.
Watching Bones in your pearls and black cocktail dress.
Pretty much, honestly.
That's fantastic.
My husband got home a little bit later, and I did that night, and I like rushed to get ready, and he came in, and he was like, "Well, this is different." I was like, I don't want to go anywhere. I just wanted to get dressed up because it's New Year's and we never do anything. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did.
Yeah. That's about the par for the course for us as well. I think my wife was in bed by 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed up right past midnight to watch the ball drop on TV, which is lame, I know, but whatever. I'm old, I admit it. I've got an 18-month-old. I'm in no place to party past midnight. But it was fun. Now, as far as anything magical for New Year's, did you do anything fun like that?
No. Honestly, like, the podcast hasn't just taken a backseat. Pretty much everything has. I just haven't felt, not, like, sick or anything, but I just haven't felt very up to much lately.
Mm-hmm. I find that that makes a lot of sense if you think about it in terms of there's this huge build of energy, this mm-hmm. huge build of motivation and determination. pre-holidays. Mm-hmm. Once you hit that new year, you're looking at January as this kind of long coast.
Right.
To get through.
Especially for me, because December I'm working more hours in that month than I probably have in the past three. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I'm making a lot of presents for people. And you know, I do. I build myself up a lot. Like, okay, you know, you got to get this done. And it's go, 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 go. And then when it finally stops, like, okay, I just need a month to just lay on the bed and not do anything.
Mm-hmm. I totally feel you on that. So that's part of why I think January's been difficult is, we put together a hell of a lot of great shows last year, I think. And we needed a little break. So, whether or not we needed a little break for our own emotional reasons, sort of life threw a break at us, yeah. Which is fine. That's life. What about New Year's Day? Did you? I ate my black-eyed peas. Did you eat your black-eyed peas?
I loathe black-eyed peas.
I don't care if you loathe your black-eyed peas. You eat one of them and you're done.
Nope. Whatever. I don't eat them.
Whatever. I take away your Southern card. No stamp for you. So, what about, do you have any other New Year's traditions that you do? Do you have to get your lights down by a certain time or anything like that?
Yeah, I did get mine down by January 6th. I think I was down by the 4th, actually.
Good for you.
Yeah. It was really depressing when they were down. I was like, aw, there's nothing festive in my house anymore.
That's another part of it is, you know, you take everything down and you're like, eh, what is there to look forward to now?
Right. So, what about you? What did you do for New Year's?
Did my black-eyed peas, because I'm from the South, Missy.
Screw you.
We do brunch every year with a couple of friends of ours, and the place we go for brunch, they have little shots of black-eyed peas.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So that even if you don't like them, you can get your little shot of them and be done. Mm. And then I actually made a big pot of Hoppin' John, which is black-eyed peas cooked with ham and some southern veggies and stuff. And we had that for dinner. I had that. My wife, who is also a southerner, quote unquote southerner, does not do black-eyed peas either, so she skips out on those. Although I think she may have done the shot this year at the restaurant. But I intended to get my greenery down. Did not happen because of the hospital thing. So I was at the hospital for basically that whole week of time when I should have been taking stuff down. And so it didn't come down until mid-January, which doesn't bode well for the year, but this means I'm going to be casting a few extra counter curses. And let me tell you, this is going to sound crazy, but I feel like I was cursed.
Really?
I really do. I feel like, you know how we did all those episodes where we're like, you know, try and throw a curse at me, ha 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 ha, I laugh in your face. Mm-hmm. I think something happened.
You think someone got bold and was like, well, I'm going to take Cora down a peg.
I think maybe. And in that situation, I'm going to say right here and right now, I deserve it. I totally put my finger in the face of fate. I got bit. What can you do? So, with many, many house cleansings and protection amulets and things later, then I think we're back on track.
All right.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so what are some more traditional New Year's stuff that we don't necessarily do, but other people do?
Well, let me see. I have, we did a little bit of research for the show.
He says we, he means he.
Thanks. Yeah, that's one thing I've been able to do is get a lot of reading done lately, which I'm not complaining about. I got a Kindle.
He did get a Kindle.
It is the best thing ever. I love it. I've been doing a lot of reading on that and, compiling notes and things. Let's see. I'm trying to see in the notes that we have about New Year's. I know in Witches All by Elizabeth Pepper, which is a collection of essays from the Witches Almanac for the past 30 years or so. She has a really, really awesome essay on the origins of New Year's, which talks about all the different New Year's traditions and dates the celebration of New Year's back to Roman times, as far as when we have our New Year's in January. Because Janus, it was the Roman god of beginnings and endings, so that's when they set their New Year's.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And prior to that, you know, depending on the culture you're in, the Celts are doing it in what we would consider October, November.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when the Norse do it. I know that there's the ancient Babylonian culture, maybe, that did it in spring. So it just depends on who you are. The Chinese people do it in February. So It just depends on who you are and when.
Yeah.
Let's see. So in Randolph, we have a lot of New Year's lore. Let's see. I'll just go through them all. Why the heck not? There's elder brush cut off on New Year's Eve will grow at least 2 inches on New Year's Day.
It is bad luck to hang up new almanacs or calendars before New Year's Day.
I like that.
I do too, actually.
It's pretty cool. Unexpected visitors on January 1st mean lots of unexpected guests in the coming year.
First footing, which is the first visitor in the new year, determines luck for the year. I've actually heard another one similar to that is someone should enter your home, a guest, before anyone from the home leaves.
Yes.
Even if that means stepping out on, you know, right before midnight, and then when the clock turns over, knocking and coming back in like you're a guest, even if you live there. And it's usually supposed to be a man, I've heard.
Yes, that's the whole first footing tradition. It's Scottish.
Okay. And
the idea is, the thing you said about the family being a part of it is interesting, because I know in a lot of places it's not supposed to be anyone from your family at all. You can have people over to your house, but then you ask, you know, that person to step out right before midnight and come back in.
Interesting.
And they're usually a guest that's not related to you. But I think, actually, in the South, we're a little more lax about that. And it can be a family member.
Well, I followed this blogger, and she had a bad year. And so she was doing, and she, as far as I know, she's not, well, she's not outwardly pagan. But I have my
suspicions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So she did a ton of stuff, and she was just, you know, tweeting about it. And she did the first footing, and she did it with her husband. You know, she made him leave. And she's in Canada, so maybe it's not just the South. I think other places are lax about it, too.
Maybe.
But she put pennies out in the, or maybe it was dimes, because I think it had to be silvers. But she put pennies out in the snow to let the moon shine down on them and collect luck. And then and she made sure that everybody's wallet had actual money in it.
Yeah.
For the new year, so you know, you'd be prosperous in the next year. She did a ton of stuff that she was talking about. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, all of that ties right into this kind of folklore about the new year. And with that first footing, like you were saying, it has to be the luckiest thing is a tall, dark man.
Right, and that's what her husband. Right.
So her husband is this tall, dark dude.
Yeah.
Be like, honey, why don't you go get those pennies out the snow? Thanks, babe. So, yeah, no, that's really cool. That's really cool. And that also kind of ties to the unexpected visitors thing that we talked about, where, you know, whatever's happening on that first day of the new year is what's going to happen for the rest of your year.
Right.
So, you know, a tall, dark stranger is very mysterious and exciting. So it's good to have. Speaking of, the next piece of lore is whatever a person does on New Year's Day is what he/she will be doing all year long. And the example that Randolph gave was often drunkards will not drink before midnight on New Year's Day so that they can get sober.
Right.
I think that's pretty intense. What else we got?
Windows and doors should be opened on New Year's Eve to air out bad luck.
I've heard that. You know, throw everything open, even if it's just for a minute.
Yeah, and freezing.
But that's good. I actually really like that, because especially on New Year's Eve, it gets a really fresh air thing going on.
That's true. I don't know. We just keep our house really cold, and I don't need any help from the outside.
But just for a minute, it'll be fine. And the other thing about it, like, I just love that whole idea of sort of a cleaning at the beginning of the new year. Like, that's something I like to do, is really clean the crap out of everything at the new year.
Instead of a spring cleaning, you do a
Well, I do both.
Okay.
I do a spring cleaning, I do a New Year's cleaning, and I usually do a cleaning sometime in late summer, early fall. Actually, no. You know when I do it? I do it, like, right around Halloween, because then I get ready for all the decorating that's going to be going on from then through Christmas.
Right.
So, usually early October, I do my cleaning. Not that I don't clean any other time, although you wouldn't know that from my house right now.
You meant, like, deep cleaning, though.
Right, like getting all the stuff up, getting the counters scrubbed down really good, the baseboards, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, we've talked about black-eyed peas already. You talked about nothing should be taken out of the house on New Year's Day or luck will leave with it. That's with the person or with the thing, I've heard as well. Like, you don't let anybody even, like, borrow a cup of sugar. where, like, all the sweetness leaves your life.
Okay.
And you don't want to borrow salt because all the flavor will leave your life.
Interesting.
I know.
And the last one that we have is, a baby born on New Year's Day will always be lucky.
I would love to know if that's true. If you were born on New Year's Day and you feel incredibly lucky, please write to us and tell us.
Or if you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so...
We actually had intended to do something a little bigger with our New Year's show, and so mm-hmm. we're sorry that we don't have more to contribute there, but we're storing it for next year.
That's right.
We've got some really cool ideas mm-hmm. for next year now. All right. Should we take a little break real quick? When we come back, we'll talk about anniversaries and have fun talking about anniversaries. I suck at transitions.
It's okay. I don't do any better.
All right. All right. Enjoy these wonderful promos. See you on the other side.
Hello. My name is Dave the Bard, and I'm the host of Druidcast, the podcast of the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids. Each month, we present a wonderful selection of music, poetry, and story, plus an interview or presentation by one of the leading teachers within the Western mystery traditions. So if you're a modern druid, Wiccan, witch, Celtic, Christian, pagan, or just interested in nature spiritualities, tune in to Druidcast each month. You can find us on iTunes or on our website at www.druidry.org.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Happy, 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 happy anniversary.
What is that?
It's the anniversary song that you sing to people.
Okay. Sorry. I did not know that, but I expect it now.
I'll be calling you on your anniversary if I can remember it. I think I do remember it, but... Nah. All right, so anniversaries... How do we make those significant? How do we...
Well, I guess when you say anniversary, most people think of wedding anniversaries mm-hmm. off the top of our head. There's other ones that we celebrate as well, but let's talk about wedding ones.
Okay.
Of course, the thing that springs to most people's mind is, like, you know, the silver anniversary, the gold anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a bunch of different ones.
Mm-hmm. The biggest ones, yeah, are the silver, the gold, and I think they have the ruby, which is 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Diamond, mm-hmm. of course. You got the diamond anniversary.
Yeah, people know those. There's a little bit of a lesser ones, though, that most mm-hmm. people don't know off the top of their heads. Do you celebrate those?
We did the first year as the paper anniversary, mm-hmm. and I bought our concert tickets.
Aww, 'cause it's paper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My husband actually bought me a journal that was leather-bound with my married name embossed on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. He did the paper. I got him a ring, though, so I didn't follow the paper.
Well, I mean, was there tissue paper in the box with it?
Yeah.
It's paper.
Okay.
You got paper.
There we go.
Way to rationalize, Corey. That's what I'm good at, though. So, yeah, we did the one-year paper. I don't think we did anything second, third, or fourth that was more than, you know, flowers and typical anniversary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But fifth, I do intend to do something really nice. And
is that coming up for you?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because my fourth is coming up.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be doing the fifth year, and that's wood.
Hmm.
I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet. I'm going to do something.
That leaves you a lot of options, though, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I'm going to build her a house.
So, 5 years is wood. 10 years is tin.
Mm-hmm.
15 years is crystal.
Mm-hmm.
20 is china. 25, silver.
Mm-hmm.
30, pearl or ivory. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, that's neat. 35, coral. That's
coral.
I know.
Weird.
I mean, coral's pretty if you polish it. And I mean, it's pretty as it is, but it'd be nice, you know, thinking about it for jewelry.
Yeah.
So, but there's some other, like, lesser known ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2 years are cotton, 3 years are, according to, we're looking at something out of the American Folklore Encyclopedia. And they talk about 2 years being cotton, 3 years being leather or muslin, which is interesting. I think that could be a very interesting third anniversary. Break out the leather. Holla. 6 years iron, 8 years electrical appliances.
Huh.
I think that's kind of funny. I don't think that's very traditional necessarily. No. But.
Well, I do know that 7 years is wool.
I bet that's your favorite. You're just planning that anniversary.
Yes.
Your fellow's going to get the thickest, wooliest Irish sweater he's ever laid his eyes on.
And he better be getting me some wool, too.
He's going to buy you a sheep for that anniversary, like, clearly.
I'd take a port sheep.
A port sheep?
Yeah, like a little teeny one you just put on your porch.
A porch sheep. It's an attack sheep. Something tells me your dog should be really upset and amused at the same time by the presence of a sheep.
They just try to herd him around. They're all...
Or eat it.
Or eat it.
If it's small enough. Mama have mint jelly. Mm.
Oh, dear. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so other...
Why do we do these crazy things?
I do not know. Let's see. From the encyclopedia, it says it's a German tradition.
All right.
That we've kept going, but...
Didn't they come up with the pickle and the Christmas tree, too?
Supposedly.
Mm.
I don't know.
Mm, crazy Germans.
Yes. Someone sent us a link to that story, and apparently if you ask Germans, do you do this pickle thing, they're like, what are you talking about? Is this a prank that you Americans are playing on us?
So maybe we're all falsely ascribing these things to the Germans.
Apparently.
They have no idea. But, okay. Well, I mean, do you think there's any value to celebrating anniversaries with these specific gifts as opposed to, just like flowers and a nice dinner? I mean,
I don't really see the benefit of it, but I don't think it hurts either. I personally don't enjoy getting flowers, so.
Well, all right.
It's just not, I don't like the smell, and I just watch them die, and it kind of depresses me, so. And I'm like, oh, well, you killed these beautiful plants, like, just to give them to me to watch them die. I just don't like it.
I'll be honest, I love getting flowers.
Really?
I know, it's like so unmanly, but I'm like, look at this wonderful arrangement of begonias. It's so pretty.
See, I can't stand the way they smell, most fresh flowers. But I wear lots of floral perfumes. Go figure.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean,
I'm not, like, weird about it. Like, if someone gives me flowers, I'm very flattered, and I do appreciate it and say mm-hmm. thank you and everything. But, like, you know, my husband knows not to get me flowers.
Yes, he'll buy you a port sheep.
Man.
Yeah, so... Okay, so then having these specific gifts, then, probably is a good alternative for you.
Yeah.
And they're
sort of nice, too, because they're a little bit of a theme. And if you both follow them, then you're both exchanging basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, one isn't vastly, more expensive than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think, like, it kind of helps you build up your household in this interesting way. Like, it's sort of a way to add value to your relationship in a way that you're adding value to your household, your family home. You know, paper is cheap, but... Depending
it's
on
your
how
first
you do
year
it.
And,
right.
Yeah.
And it can have some significance. You know, I get concert tickets. That's a memory that mm-hmm. we get to have together.
Right.
But then it would. I might buy some furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, furniture is really good to have. That's.
I had friends who were celebrating their 5th anniversary, and he got her a piano.
Mm.
And she'd always wanted one.
And that's very cool.
Yeah.
It's wood.
Yeah, exactly. So it worked out great.
And then I think, like, by the time you get to silver and gold and diamond, what you're really doing is creating these legacy pieces that are going to be passed down through the family. So you're sort of creating this portable wealth.
Smart. Yeah.
That's just kind of my take on it. And I really like that. I think it's a brilliant way to approach it. That being said, I don't really do the 2, 3, 4 years, but I will do 1, 5, 10, 15,
okay.
20. The significant ones I will definitely do. 7 I'll probably do too because my wife knits. And
yeah.
And I want a port sheep. As badly as you do. Maybe I'll get a porch alpaca.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Some of the other anniversary traditions we've found in this were the Unity candle. Okay. I know that a lot of people do this Unity candle at their wedding, which is a candle that both members of the couple light simultaneously
mm-hmm.
with fiery brands. I don't know what else to call them. Tapers?
Yeah.
Candles? They just use
yeah,
separate
tapers.
Candles? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Funny story, I got married outside and I had a Unity candle and it was windy so it wouldn't light, so we had to mime it.
Oh.
So we've got these pictures of me with like my hand on my hip because I'm laughing and like, I guess kind of sassy about it. And like we're holding our candles to the Unity candle and it's just not working.
So you're saying your marriage basically is invalid, right?
Oh, shut up. No.
Oh. But, I mean, okay, so the thing I thought was interesting about that was that In the lore we found, apparently some people do, every year they'll drag out this Unity candle and relight it.
Did you do a Unity candle?
No, but it's because of my wife's specific religious tradition. It's not that they're against it, but it's just one of those things that's kind of like they're like, it's a little hokey. It's not real.
See, I was coming at it from like a pagan perspective that was really easy to insert into a wedding that my family could look at it and go, oh, that's not pagan at all, you know? Even to me, it was.
Right.
So.
And for me, I would have been fine with it. It's, you know, I do think it's a little cheesy, but I also think it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most weddings I've been to here in the South, that's what they do. They do a Unity candle. I had no problem with it. I just had no concept of that being done every year as part of the anniversary. Like, that seems a little weird to me.
Hmm.
I don't know why. But it makes sense, I guess.
Corey and I were talking about this earlier, and I actually was mistaken. I do not have my Unity candle anymore because we accidentally left it in the gazebo. But I have our hand fasting candle.
Oh, okay.
That has the ribbons that we actually tied our hands together with, wrapped around it, and braided together.
Do you like that one at any particular time?
I think I have before when, like, there's been some strife to sort of
rekindle that connection.
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of remind us, like, hey, we do love each other. Let's bring this down a notch. And but I haven't done that in a while. So,
And see, I totally see that value, like that side of it, being like bringing it out when you think it has some power or some need. But like for some reason, doing it every year seems weird to me. It makes total sense in that, you know, you're annually relighting that fire so that it can. It's just like how some people have the Yule log.
Yeah.
You carry over last year's Yule log to light this Yule log. That kind of a thing. So it makes total sense, but it's very interesting to me.
Well, what else is there?
What else do we have? Wedding cake.
Oh, yeah. It's a big one. Yeah. Save it and then eat it at the first anniversary.
And apparently some people, you know, in the modern day time period where you have freezing capability, will eat on it for several years.
That disgusts me. I couldn't even eat it after the first year.
No, it was, I mean, we had one bite and then that was it. We were done. We're like, we're throwing this out.
We didn't even bite it. We just took pictures and like I posted it and I was like, oh, yay. Because ours was actually the groom's cake. I did a Nintendo console.
That's awesome.
So we saved the controller,
which
was also cake. And so, you know, it's like, oh, look how cute it is. Okay, trash.
Yeah.
We're not eating this.
Yeah. And after a year, it's just, you know, no matter how well you wrap it, it's not going to hold.
Yeah, it's freezer burned and, yeah.
And ours, I mean, our cake was the worst thing about our wedding anyway.
Oh, really? Ours was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ours was, everything else about the wedding was awesome. Like, we had a great wedding. But the cake, we hired this decorator who apparently is going on to be on, like, Cake Boss or Cake Wars or something. So he's some big hotshot cake dude. But we hired him, and, like, all we wanted was basically this sort of airbrush-stenciled words from it was a very literary wedding, so there were a lot of poetry and things read out loud. So we wanted words, like passages from favorite poems, around this outside of the cake. And that was the most complex thing about it, was that we wanted these stencils done. And we paid enough that probably should have happened. But instead of stenciling it, he piped all of it on.
Oh, my God.
and it was real, like, it looked like, you know, not to disparage anybody who works at Publix, because I think y'all do amazing work, but it looked like somebody at Publix might have done it.
It looked like it belonged on Cake Rex.
Right. And, like, he misspelled words.
Oh, my God.
Like, dude. But we laughed about it.
Yeah, at least it's something. Something to keep you humble on your wedding day, I guess.
Exactly. It was sort of our, have you ever seen World According to Garp?
No.
It's this Robin Williams movie, and, like, the reason he buys the house that he buys for himself and his family is a plane crashes into it on the day he's looking at it. So he thinks it's been pre-disastered and nothing else can ever happen to it. It's bad. So this was our pre-disastered cake.
Gotcha. Okay.
Nothing else bad could happen on the wedding day, and it was great.
Good.
We were really happy with it. So, yeah, so if you eat wedding cake more than after the first year, I kind of want to know about it. I'd be kind of interested to know, like, does it hold up? And I mean, it doesn't hold up after a year for me, but, like, how long do you keep that going? It's very strange. And also, if you do the Unity Candle, I'd love to know if that's something that you do on a regular basis. So please write to us. Mm-hmm. Right. What else do we have? They were displaying the wedding gown on the anniversary.
I've never heard that.
Well, I think that's a very old school thing to do. Like, if you're having a big, like, silver or ruby or diamond.
Oh, okay. I can see doing that later on, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, right now, 4 years. No. Just remind me how much weight I've gained.
Yeah. Like, there's no positive way to do it. You're like, especially once you start having kids, you're like, no, that's just a reminder of things that will never be. But, no, I think, like when you're an older couple and you're having people celebrate you, bringing out your old.
Yeah, I can definitely see doing that. I like that.
I think that's actually kind of neat.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been toying with what to do with my dress, actually. I'm not sure if I should sell it or preserve it and keep it for however long. Or
in case you're, like, if you have a little girl or.
Yeah, my mom actually kept her wedding dress, but it was so 80s. So bad. So bad. So I didn't wear it, but, I mean, we're talking, like, poofy shoulders that came to my ears and.
Wow.
Ugh. Awful.
All you needed was the 7 cans of hairspray to poof your hair up.
Exactly,
to
go with it. Yeah. Oh. Mom just recently stopped teasing her hair, actually.
Oh.
She's very trendy now, but we went through a period.
We had to be very gentle with her and be like, Mom.
Well, I'm just happy she's not wearing mom jeans. Like, my husband's mother was a little bit more of a, I don't want to disparage anybody. She shops at certain stores that scream mom to me, and my mom does not, so.
Okay. I'll be interested to know what those stores are off record, so I can avoid them.
But anyway, we're
sort of digressing here. But yeah, so displaying the wedding gown, I just think that's really neat. The wedding photos, I'm sure, would be a big part of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know at least one couple who does take out their wedding photos every year and display them on the day of the anniversary.
Hmm.
And it's not like they have people over to look at them, but they just sort of put them out so people can see it. And my wife and I will watch our wedding video on our anniversary.
Aww.
Because it's a really good wedding video. My brother shot it, so.
Cool. Yeah, we didn't do that.
Yeah. It was cool. It's a lot of fun. We have all of our friends giving us the advice and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. We love it.
You had a much more talkative wedding. Ours was a lot more traditional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours was really, like, really fun, weird way. So
awesome.
Anyway.
So any other anniversary stuff that's, like, wedding anniversary?
I think that's it on the wedding side of things.
Well,
I mean, magically, though, is there anything other? I mean, we've talked about the candle, definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like there's what you said about your candle with relighting it to calm your marriage and rekindle your marriage. I wonder if there are things that you could do to sort of use these anniversary style, either the anniversary date or things that are associated with the anniversary, to create some sort of spell.
Mm. I can see using, like, birdseed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people throw that.
Like birdseed in a shoe or something like that.
Yeah, or maybe, like, you know, the old whatever it would be, something borrowed, something blue,
mm-hmm.
old and new, like, you know, using that somehow in the spell. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Like making sure all those things are present on your anniversary to sort of rebond yourself.
Yeah, something like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I know that
I haven't ever really thought about it, though.
There's one spell I've run across which involves taking pieces of clothes that were worn on the wedding day and knotting them together and putting them into, like, your hope chest or the dowry trunk, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to keep you bonded together. And alternatively, if you don't have something like a hope chest, you can knot them together and throw them under your mattress.
Mm.
And it's supposed to keep you bound together and faithful to each other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, just had to tack a little magic on there.
Well, what other anniversaries do we celebrate?
Well, one thing I came across while doing the research here was talking about anniversaries of historic events, which you don't usually think of as anniversaries.
Right.
But they are. We celebrate them annually.
In
America, we have Flag Day, which is... I have no idea when Flag Day is.
I don't either.
A bad American.
I am too.
I assume it's in July sometime, but probably is not. We do have 4th of July.
Yeah.
Where we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And then what are some other... big annual historic event holidays?
Well, it says like military battles as well. I know there's the bombing of Pearl Harbor is a pretty big one. I mean, like, we don't celebrate it, but we commemorate it.
We do. I mean, it's sort of tied into Memorial Day in that way.
Yeah. And,
Oh, Veterans Day.
Oh, yeah, that too.
11/11. And in America, we don't do this so much, but something I love that they do in other countries is they wear the red poppy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
And they'll wear that as a remembrance of the veterans. So I like that.
Yeah. And down here, there's some, like, I don't personally, but, you know, some people go to, like, Gettysburg and...
Mm-hmm.
Appomattox. Some of the other big Civil War...
sites.
Yeah. The Battle of Northern Aggression.
The late unpleasantness.
Yes. Sorry. I find that amusing. Yeah. But anyway.
I was listening to this awesome history podcast the other day where... they were talking about courtship and romance and throughout American history.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that called in said, you know, I was born and raised a Southerner and I married this girl from Long Island. And my grandmother had a fit, like could not forgive me for marrying a Yankee.
Oh my God.
And I was like, holy mess. I can't believe that like mentality still pervades. But they were saying like, that was a big thing right after the Civil War. If you look at the fiction that came out, like, the very first novel published in the South after the Civil War is about a Southern belle falling in love with a Northern veteran.
Mm.
And it was huge because it was this, and I like it because it's very mythic. It was this Southern belle who stood for the South, sort of like the goddess of the South, reuniting with the god of the North in a reunification.
Mm.
And, like, the national fiction became that.
Yeah.
So, that was very interesting. Not that we celebrate that in any way, but...
No, I'm actually very proud that the ancestors, you know, like the a few generations back on my dad's side, who I know about, they fought in the Civil War. Actually, Northern, you know, like fighting for them, not the Confederates. There we go, Union. Thank you. It's been a little while, people. Sorry, it's late.
Right, that was awesome.
Yes, let's just cut that right there.
I don't know how I can.
I'm kidding.
All right.
Oh, God.
So, Union.
Yes, they were Union. And which is very surprising, considering how
Southern your family is. Yeah.
And how racist some of them still are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just because someone was on the Union side does not necessarily mean they weren't racist. There was a lot of racism in the North, too.
That's true.
But all that being said, you know... putting the past behind us, it's not something to dwell upon other than as a nice historical lesson, I think.
Right. What else we got? Anniversaries of death dates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. Do you do anything for, like, your mom or your dad?
I almost always forget my dad's death date, which is terrible. Not that, no, it's actually a good thing because it kind of slides past me, and I'm pretty good about that. My mom's, I always remember. Like, and it's weird, like, for the specific, like, there's this 2-hour period of that day that I always start to get really, like, down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember what day it is, and I'm like, oh, that's why I'm feeling weird. And then I drink myself into a coma, and I wake up the next day, and I'm great. I'm kidding. Kidding. No, I do get that like little 2-hour period of feeling kind of down, and once I recognize why, it's easy to get back out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go visit my mom's grave. I used to go visit either my mom's grave or some place that I felt was very important to her, some place that I knew she really liked, and leave flowers there every year. So she liked flowers. She wasn't stuck up like some of the Yankees are.
Did you just call me a Yankee?
Yes, my dad.
We're about to throw down here. Show you I'm a Southerner. Okay, anyway. I mean, it's only been the 1 year, and the second anniversary of his death is coming up, but I didn't really do anything for my dad's. We did go to the liquor store and get a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, I mean...
that was about it. I was just really depressed, and...
yeah.
We actually went out to eat, too. I take that back, because I just wanted to be out of the house. Mm. I just didn't want to think about it. And or not think about it in a depressing way. So,
no, I mean, I don't know. There's something about it that's really, like, there's this morbid fascination that goes on when you have someone close to you die.
Yeah, I agree.
You really want to pay attention to it, but at the same time, you don't want to go through the emotions of it again because it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people can, you know, just pour out the 40 on the curb I know that's a really horrible way to say it, but, like, you know, I do. I spill, you know, sometimes I'll spill a little liquor when I'm having liquor in honor of the dead. Well, I mean, it's that same concept. You're trying to honor them, but you don't really want to dwell on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a part of it that sort of you don't want to be summoning them and getting them stuck. You know, you also don't want yourself stuck.
Yeah, you have to find a way to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Not forget, but just, I don't know. It's still really fresh for me, I think, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have very much insight into it yet, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just hard to articulate.
Yeah.
Especially early on. And the more time goes on, the easier the articulation gets. The loss never goes away, but the good stuff surfaces more often, which is nice. It got really dreary quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it kind of did.
So, all right, well, okay, sort of touching on the folklore that we found again with death dates. Apparently some people take out commemorative newspaper ads to celebrate death dates, which I've never done. And I've never paid attention to before, but now I really want to look at some newspaper ads.
Where would that be?
Like in the classified section.
That's weird.
Like in honor of, you know, Donnie Joe, who passed away this day. So and so. On that same note, one thing I've seen that's really big here in the South, as far as honoring death dates, is to put a sticker in your car's rear window.
Mm-hmm.
Like in memory of Sally Sue. You know, such and such dates.
Yep.
And it's very weird to me. Like, you're broadcasting that for everybody so they're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
and you're constantly reminded of it is what kills me.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's a bad choice of words. I'm sorry. It is what bothers me.
It slays me.
Because, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's not good to dwell on it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, leaving it up there all the time, for me, I know it would make it, like, the mundane, like, I would just kind of pass right over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking at your rear view, you know, you're talking, you're driving, and it doesn't register like someone's death should when you think of it. And mm-hmm. just for me, I don't know, you know, it may be different for other people, but that's how I see it. Like, that's why I wouldn't do it, personally.
Well, maybe that's sort of their coping mechanism, though, is to see it constantly, not that you're desensitized to the pain of it, but more receptive to the memory.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's a good point. I wouldn't react that way, but I can see mm-hmm. other people who might.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that either. My stepmom had, my dad was a composer, so she had one of his little music stands. In the music room in her house that had a sheet of his music that he had composed and a photo of him and his glasses.
Aww.
And that would just stay out there all the time. And it was one of those things that, you know, after a certain amount of time, after you walk by it, enough times you forget what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then every once in a while, you'll stop and be like, oh, yeah. And she's also incredibly Protestant and Christian, and I consider that to be kind of an altar, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we do the anniversaries of deaths. This also mentioned that there are some sort of modern folk tales or urban legends mm-hmm. that surface around death dates. And they mentioned the vanishing hitchhiker, which is a young woman picked up near a cemetery trying to get home. And it's always on the anniversary of her death. And she disappears when you get back to the house.
Right.
But her jacket is still in the car or something like that.
Or there's no trace of her. I've heard a lot of different stories about that, you know, around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The jacket thing. The way the jacket works, I think, is that when the guy picks up the girl, he puts his jacket around her because she's cold.
Okay.
They get back to the house, and she's gone from the car when he knocks on the door and says, hey, your daughter's out here, needs to come in.
Ugh.
And they're like, oh, no, our daughter died this day, da-da-da-da-da. And then he's like, oh, that's weird. Oh, I'm so creeped out. Where's my jacket? And he goes back to the cemetery and it's hanging on her grave. Oh, you're like, oh, crazy spooky. But, so I think that's a really interesting piece of folklore. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So that covers anniversaries. Want to take another little quick break and we'll come back. We're not going to have our regular segments this week. I know we keep saying that, but we are plotting to bring those back.
Yes.
In the next couple of episodes. We just have had some complications getting those together in time, and we've been busy.
Yeah, life.
Yeah, that's just how it goes. But the sonorous, melodic tones of our voices should be enough for you. The dulcet, sweet songs of our syllables tripping off of our lips. Time for a break.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back, and we'll talk about birthdays. Stay tuned.
What's up, witches?
This is Firelight,
and I'm Velma Nightshade.
No, you're not. I know her. You look absolutely nothing like her.
Well, I look pretty damn good for whatever it is that I am.
Yeah, I still don't know exactly what you are. But we did decide to do a show because nobody can ever get a word in edgewise with Firelight. So we have this show, in case you've never heard of it, called Inciting a Brouhaha. And first, I talk, and then he talks, and then I talk some more, and then he talks.
And sometimes there's conversations about fake flowers, but we don't discuss that.
Yeah, fake flowers are a no-no. That usually ends in a fight.
Well, and then there's things about the Nog, and then we kiss and make up after every single fight by going, I love you, Velma Nightshade!
And you'll notice, I don't think I've ever actually said it back, but I do love you. And I love everybody else who is out there listening. Whatever show you're listening to right now, when you're done with it, because it's undoubtedly a fabulous show, you need to go to iTunes or Podbean immediately and download Inciting a Brouhaha.
It's not Inciting a Riot. It's not Witches Brouhaha. It is Inciting a Brouhaha, a show ordained by the gods of podcasting, so that we could bring our excellence to you. So go download Inciting a Brouhaha. We are so happy to be bringing it to you, and we'll see you on the witchy side.
Later, witches.
Bye.
Do you dream of living a simpler life out in the country with the classic red barn and prerequisite chickens and a garden? Do you long to have fresh food that was grown organically and didn't have to travel 1,500 miles to reach your plate? Well, if you're a city slicker with big country dreams, head on over to the Pagan Homesteader, where we will look at homesteading from a pagan perspective. Here we will talk about various farm animals, organic gardening, permaculture, rainwater catchment, downsizing, and everything it takes to create our simpler life. Okay, so maybe it's not always that simple. Anyway, pull up a chair as we learn about all things homesteading, and I share ideas on how you can create your own urban homestead. Happy homesteading, everyone.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Gloria's pouting, by the way.
Because she wouldn't let me sing the real song. Which is probably for the best, because it may not be out of copyright yet.
That's true.
Anyway, all right, so birthdays.
Yeah, lots of traditions with those.
Indeed. All right. Well, some of the most famous ones, of course, you get your cake, you get your candles, make your wish.
Get your presents.
Get your presents. See right where you go with those. Like, screw the cake, screw the candles, give me presents. But no flowers. I don't like flowers.
What is with you flowers?
Do you like flowers if they're made out of frosting? Can you handle that?
Yes, I do like frosting flowers.
Okay. Yeah, so you've got the birthday candles, making a wish, pretty magical stuff right there. Actually, Judica Elish has a spell where you use birthday candles.
Oh, neat.
And using them in a grapefruit.
Huh.
And it's a love spell.
Very even interesting. Weirder.
I know. Like, every part of that, I'm like, that's a very odd spell. But yeah. So, you got that one. What are some other things for birthdays?
Well, the making the wish on the candle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, one of the things I found in researching that is the breath aspect of that. There's this sort of magically empowered breath on your birthday.
Huh.
And that's why you're supposed to do it all in one blow.
Cool.
Because it's sort of your breath of life kind of a thing.
Gotcha.
That was interesting.
Very.
What else? There's the song, which you wouldn't let me sing.
That's right.
It's very important. Ritual spankings or kissing or hugs or whatever. The spanking I grew up with, like, only for the kids. You only do it for the kids. The kids get the one for every year and then one to grow on.
Yes. Up to how all
like
of them.
12 maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
It was very, very uncomfortable if anybody ever tried to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's only certain people who can... Like, you can't have creepy Uncle Roy doing it. It needs to be mommy or daddy. Did you just snort?
Yes.
Do you have a creepy Uncle Roy?
No, I don't. I just thought it was, the imagery was so funny to me.
You saw the mustache clearly in your head, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. The molestache? Yes.
Oh, Lord. So you've got creepy Uncle Roy.
Oh.
But no, you, that was one that I grew up with. I think like 12 would have been the cap age on that. I don't even know that we went that far with it. Like, it may have been like 10.
I think like we joked around about it in high school, but it was like, you know, flirting and innuendo.
Mm-hmm. And I remember pinch to grow an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get your pinch on your birthday so you would grow at least one more inch the next year.
Hmm.
But, good. I mean... most of the time, I was growing like a weed anyway, so...
Not me.
Did you need more pinch? See, that's why you didn't grow
that's
so much.
That's right, I needed more pinching.
Not enough pinching. there are games like Pin the Tail on the Donkey.
Why is that birthday?
Can I ask? Yeah, I don't understand that game. Like, I understand, like, how you play it, but where did that come from?
I have no idea.
Like, isn't that a weird game?
We need to research that.
We do. We'll do an episode on games or something.
Okay. And why a donkey?
That's what I'm saying. Like, is this like some ancient Middle Eastern donkey god, like Pallas? You know, is this, you know, is this all connected to that? Or is this just like somebody had a stuff a donkey that the tail fell off of and they made a game out of it, you know? And it caught on.
Well, that makes me think of Eeyore. He was always losing his tail.
Right. Right?
Did it was did that predate the game?
First.
Yeah, like.
Ooh.
Okay, we'll have to look this up, people.
Yeah, it's very strange. Are there other birthday games? I remember Twister being a big one, but I don't really know why.
We were never really big on birthdays. Like, we had them in the family, but we never had big parties with like a bunch of friends over or anything. They were just sort of like, "Yay, it's your birthday! Here's a few presents." Like, we just didn't. They were celebrated. They just weren't a huge deal. Like, some people make them.
Right, yeah. You didn't have, like, my super sweet six or whatever.
No.
You know.
I did have a cool 16th birthday party, but...
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about them. Let's talk about special birthdays.
All right, yeah, we're there. Why not? Okay, well, okay, so there you go. So, first birthday is very big.
Yes.
Because you get to see a little child smashing cake into his face.
And getting a sugar rush for the first time.
Oh, man, that is the best. I'm telling you, our little boy, when he had that cake, like, we took his shirt off because there was just no way that was going to last.
Right.
And, like, he started digging fists into the cake and cramming it into his mouth. And
now, hadn't you given this child cake before and he adored it?
He had a bite or two.
Okay.
Like, he had never had a lot of sugar. And, like, we were very careful not to do that. And I'll be totally honest, my wife did that because she wanted this to happen. She wanted this first birthday when he got maximum sugar rush to be huge for him. And it paid off in spades, people. Like, you've never seen something so cute. Like, he actually made the yeah face. Like, I don't even know how to express that. But
like when he gets all...
Like, eyes are nearly bugged out of his skull, and, like, he's, like, smiling back to his ears, and, like,
and
his jaw is distended,
bit.
And he's shaking and happy, and he's like, "You gave me a cake!" That was amazing.
Love it.
So, yeah. I don't know what's magical about that other than that you, like, maybe it's shape-shifting, because your child turns from, like, human into, like, cake demon in 30 seconds.
Cake demon. I love it. So what are some other good ones?
They list 13th. I remember 10th being kind of big because you were double digits.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. 13th, I can see, like, because isn't that coming of age in the Jewish tradition?
Yeah, it's your bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah.
Right, so. And plus, you know, you're a teenager now.
Yeah.
That was kind of a big one for me.
Right, which means that you're a young adult.
Right.
Which is very, very big.
No longer a tween.
Yeah, which I wasn't aware of the term tween when I was growing up.
Really?
That was totally new to me. When I heard that term, I was like, what the heck is a tween? In the Hispanic tradition, you've got the quinceañera, which is the 15th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
The big dresses.
Yeah, with the huge dresses and the mantillas, it's basically their sweet 16.
Right.
Done.
They just do it a year earlier than we do.
To the max. And it's usually church-affiliated, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Hispanic woman at work who helped do a quinceañera for one of the girls in her youth group class, and like she's planned it for about a year and a half.
God.
And like she's sewing these huge decorations, like doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, this is a birthday party, right? And she's like, yeah, it's more than that. Mm-hmm. There's something bigger.
Yeah.
And I think actually what it comes down to, and this is going to sound really weird, is that's sort of the marriageable age.
Yeah.
Historically, is like that's when she would be eligible. It's sort of a debut as well as a.
Yeah, sort of. It's like a birthday party and cotillion rolled into one.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Sweet 16 is kind of where we do that.
Yeah. I think 16 is so big here is because that's, you know, you're driving now. You're independent. That's when you can get your driver's license. That's not when I got mine. I got mine later, but. Mm-hmm.
But theoretically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think there's also.
Out there. Again.
I think there's something else about 16. Like, I feel like there's a certain level of accountability that appears somewhere around 15, 16, 17.
I'm not sure if it's cultural or if it's just, like, in my head, but 16 just seems much older than 15. If that makes sense. Like,
15's still kind of a kid.
Yeah, and it's like you make the leap.
Mm-hmm.
Not adulthood necessarily, but it just seems like it's a year full of a lot of maturing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really badly structured sentence, but you know what I mean.
No, I follow exactly what you're talking about.
You mature a lot in that one year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's really like you're planning your future in a way that you weren't doing.
Yeah.
And you're faced with consequences for serious decisions. Not to say that, like, everyone who's 16 has to have sex, but sex enters the picture pretty firmly at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there, of course, there are people having sex before that. There are people who have sex much, much later than that. But there's something about around that age where the experimentation is really, really high.
Yeah, plus your hormones are going crazy anyway, so.
Right, but there's something in that time period that sort of makes you more adult, but really on the cusp of that. It's really new for whoever's experiencing it.
Agreed.
And I think that's kind of cool. I mean, there's a reason that a lot of people celebrate that sort of young blushing bride age. And I think that ties into it. It's this sort of age of being a young woman. Because it's not sweet 16 for boys.
No. I mean,
let's be real. Boys don't get that. Boys get a big 16th birthday in terms of they might get a car.
Right. But it's not the same thing.
Mm. It is a strictly, like, dote on the female kind of a thing.
Yeah. Weird.
Mm-hmm. And you don't invite creepy Uncle Roy. Stash.
Come here for your birthday spanking.
You need your pants to grow an inch.
Lord.
So
the 18th was kind of a big one for me.
Why was it big for you?
It just felt different. I don't know. I could buy cigarettes. I could buy porn. That was pretty awesome. Not that I did, but I could.
Yeah.
When my brother turned 18, he was like, it's not a big deal. I can't really do much. I was like, well, you have to register.
The draft.
For the draft, which scares me, but whatever. And then I was like, you can buy porn now. And he was like, oh, I didn't need that. Don't tell me that. Like, you know, he doesn't want his sister telling him this information.
Yeah. He doesn't want you to have any indication that, like, porn is good for him.
Right. But anyway, it's just 18 is our adulthood here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because until the 70s, it wasn't. 21 was our adult age. But with Vietnam, we lowered the legal age to 18 because we were drafting at 18.
Mm-hmm.
So adulthood. It's just interesting. There's this sort of
oh, you can vote.
Fuzzy.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's vote. Huge. That's huge.
I was so happy when I was able to vote.
Yeah. And it sucks when you turn 18 in a year where there's not a significant election.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does because it almost feels like you've wasted that birthday because you're waiting to that
I'm trying to think when
opportunity. So that's 18th birthday, right?
Yeah, so 21st is the next huge one here.
And that is the biggest one to me.
And that's because you can drink. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of silly, personally. Like, I'm not a teetotaler or anything, but, like, I just really hate that I'm able to vote and die for my country, but I can't have a drink. You know, in that 18 to 21 period.
Right. Now, the drinking age aspect of it, I think, is silly. But, yeah.
21, I mean, that people celebrate that just by going out and getting smashed.
Mm-hmm.
My brother actually recently had his first, well, his only
first birthday. Have you celebrated there, Lane?
A couple. No, I'm kidding. His 21st birthday, and I was telling him, he's like, "Well, you know, I don't really have that much money," and I was like, "Well, just go to a bunch of different bars, and you know, if it's your birthday, they'll give you your first drink free usually." He's like, "Really? I didn't know this." I'm like, "Yes, duh." Go get some free drinks.
Well, and he shouldn't have to be buying himself any drinks anyway on his 21st birthday. He should be taken out by his friends.
Yes. That's a big part of it, too, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your friends buy you drinks.
Yeah.
Yes. It's amazing. All right. So then you have 25, your quarter-life crisis, which is, that's a new phenomenon to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's enough lore built up around it for me to feel strongly about it, but...
I think it's gaining in mm-hmm. popularity.
It's mentioned in a John Mayer song. That's a step up, right?
Well, I think our generation sort of. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't know.
Well, we made 30 the new 20. Like between my generation and your generation, 30 became the new 20, and I think 25 became this sort of introspective 18.
Hmm.
When you're now sort of this other. We've just thrown off our timetables a lot.
Well, a friend and I were discussing this the other day, actually. Our generation is sort of taking things slower than the past generation, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In that we're not having children right away, and we're not getting married right away, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I did. But, you know, we're totally waiting for kids. I mean, it'll probably be another 5 years for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so... like, we see where our parents were at this time. Like, you know, my mom had already had me when she was my age. And, you know, if I were following those footsteps, I'd already have a kid. That scares the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but it does. And I just think I'm just not prepared for that. And which is why I'm not having them. But my point is, we're not moving as fast. And we're sort of still comparing ourselves to the older generations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, a lot of people aren't owning houses right now. Because of the market, first of all, but also just because we're not moving at such a fast pace. And I think a lot of people feel kind of inadequate and like they're not measuring up or...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think it's a difference in generations. And that's like why the quarter life crisis is kind of coming about.
Mm, sort of a pushback against the boomer mentality.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of better studies on this than...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could... I think that there is something that happens, though, with this generation. I think you're right about the slowing down. But there's something that happens about deferring this big introspection that happens, that used to happen for people around age 18 when they were deciding, you know, college, career, you know, are they going to start a family and all that. For some reason, that's been pushed to 25 now.
Mm-hmm.
But 30 has been sort of lowered. So it's now the beginning of your fun decade for a lot of people, or the beginning of your you know, your defining decade when you're going to have your kids and you're going to buy your house.
Yeah, that is a defining decade, I agree.
When it used to be your 20s.
Right.
It used to be that was when you were going to do all that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Everything's kind of being pushed back. And mm-hmm. so it's like, what do I do with my 20s?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you're not doing something with it, it's like, oh, I'm a failure. I mean, I'm going through that myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it a quarter-life crisis, but other people might.
Some other significant birthdays. You've got your 30, your 40, your 50.
Mm-hmm.
All of which I think you should celebrate. I celebrated my 30th by renting out a laser tag place and playing laser tag.
It was awesome, people.
It was the business, y'all.
I have never sweat that much in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief. It was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it was a party. But, I mean, I think it's important to mark milestones.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And magically speaking, I think that there's something to be said for, you know, reaching these milestones and sort of taking them as badges of honor. And you know, being like, okay, you know, I've reached this new point in my life. That means I've acquired that much more knowledge, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if that's magically speaking, but maturity speaking. All right, some other... birthday traditions. With 40 and 50 and 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do over the hill celebrations. When we discussed that earlier, you were saying that it makes you feel kind of uncomfortable.
It creeps me out. Like, I don't know. I remember when they did like a big joke birthday party for my dad when he turned 50.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was 40 because he didn't make it to 50. Sorry. Mm-hmm. When he turned 40. And like there were like Depends adult diapers, mm-hmm. and you know, all the like the black streamers and the tombstone imagery that say like happy birthday, but RIP as well, you know, rest in mm-hmm. peace. And I don't know, it's just really morbid to me. And some people think it's really funny, but like I think it was kind of influenced by the fact that my dad didn't really appreciate it.
Because
that's the only over the hill birthday party I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I don't know, he was just kind of like, this isn't really funny, guys. Because there was like hemorrhoid cream for presents and just everything that you think, like denture cream, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I just, he was like, okay, this is like one present is funny, but.
But a whole party centered around it was a little much for him?
Yeah. And I kind of picked up on that, I think. And it just, it's never really been funny to me.
Hmm. Fair enough. I mean, it may just depend on the person.
Yeah.
I see a weird value in it.
Okay.
Like if you can't laugh at death, then it's going to be a really awful life for you because you're going to be afraid of it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to laugh about death is incredibly important because otherwise you're overshadowed by it your whole life and you can't even allow yourself to think about it or you're terrified. It's always waiting for you. But if you can laugh about it a little bit, then it's not so scary.
Yeah.
It's not as frightening a thing. And it
I don't think it's really death necessarily. I think it's getting older and like the yeah. things that go along with that.
Yeah. And I can understand that's a little hard to deal with, but at the same time.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah.
That's just my feelings on it.
Yeah. And like I said, I think it's actually a neat tradition, has its place. I do think that done poorly, it can be really depressing and upsetting.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. You want actually to laugh about it. You don't want to upset yourself. Anyway. Okay, so some of the other fun birthday stuff that we found. This is a weird tradition, but apparently some people bump the honoree's head with unwrapped gifts while reciting a rhyme, which apparently begins, heavy, heavy hangs over your poor head. No idea what the rest of the rhyme is. And then you make birthday wishes for the honoree.
I've never heard that, ever.
Neither have I.
Maybe it's like a certain portion of the country that does it or something.
Maybe. Like, it makes me think of, do you know the story of Briar Rose, Spindle?
Sleeping Beauty?
Sleeping Beauty, yes. Thank you. Sleeping Beauty. Okay, so at her birthday, all the fairies come and give her a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but they're all birthday wishes. They're all wishes that, for things that she will fulfill. Like, she'll be beautiful.
The gift of song.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And then the final fairy is the one who's like, she'll die. That's my gift to her. She's going to die. Because the next to last fairy. Yeah, because
Maleficent comes in and then does that. But then Meriwether hadn't given hers yet.
I'm going off the Grimm's, not the Disney. What else?
I'm going off the Disney because that's the one I know. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. In the Grimm's, there's 13 fairies. There's the 12 good fairies and the one that they didn't have a seat for, the black fairy, who comes in and curses the child before the 12th has a chance to give her gift. So her gift is to lessen the load.
Right. Which I think is cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I love that story.
It's got a spinning wheel in it. I just love that.
Yes. Oh, and you've got a spinning wheel. Oh, we'll get into that at another episode. That's awesome. I can see like the value of that, like being really cool, like bumping someone's head and giving them a wish. But I don't know where that comes from.
I don't either.
If you do that, tell us. We'd love to know. Also,
that reminds me of this other tradition. Sorry, that I know about it from The Office,
mm-hmm.
and it was Creed's birthday, and they all like get in a circle and they sing like "Dance Around the Room." They're like "Dance Around the Room, Dance Around the Room." We won't stop until you something and dance around the room. I was reading some forum for fans of The Office, and some people were like, what were they singing? And a few people were like, oh yeah, that's a traditional thing up here. I think they're in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true or if that's like that certain person. I don't know. If you're in Pennsylvania, let me know.
That is interesting. I would love to know more about that.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, just dancing. So
like you're trying to get the birthday person to dance.
Yeah, I guess.
Huh, cool.
I don't know.
I like that. I would be very into that. My wife would not. Let's see.
Or maybe it's skip around the room.
Skip around the room. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. Okay. It's really interesting. Okay, some other traditions we've got. Some girls have a quote-unquote date with daddy on their birthday, which is a little weird to me.
I've heard that. But it's I've heard it more for, like, little girls.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, I've heard of it more like there's a set, like maybe Father's Day or or like a set time that you need to go out just with your father. I don't know. That's
it's odd to me.
I haven't,
especially as a birthday thing, because I don't know you. I mean, I know it's all about whoever's getting the birthday, so you're making them happy. But I don't know. It seems like it really exclusive of mommy, and that's sort of sad. You wouldn't want to do that. But I don't know.
Well, there is a very special bond, though, that a daughter has with her father.
Hopefully. Not always, but hopefully.
Hopefully.
I hope so. I don't want to spoil it rotten, but that's me. Okay, what about putting butter on someone's nose?
I have never heard of that.
Neither have I. It's in the book, though.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It doesn't say why.
No, it doesn't say why. So if you put butter on your nose for your birthday, please tell us why. Cake on the nose. I didn't know cake frosting on the nose. A lot of people will do that to someone on their birthday.
Okay.
Like, when they bring out the birthday cake, you'll, like, pop them on the nose. You apparently don't do this ever.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Like, when you're serving them the first cake, the first piece, you'll sometimes pop them on the nose. It's the same thing as, like, in a wedding. Where, like,
okay. Oh, so it's like a surprise.
Yeah, it's just a joke. It's not, like, for anything. It's just sort of like a, ha-ha, look at you, you got frosting on your thing.
Okay.
That was really probably incoherent. Ha-ha, look at you, you've got frosting on you. That's what I was saying. Kidnapping the honoree for a birthday breakfast. We did that in college, where people would kidnap you for a dinner or something.
Mm-hmm.
Commemorative ads for deceased family members' birthdays, which ties into the thing we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Cakes with little tokens baked into them. Apparently you just do that anytime you want in America. Like, yeah, we have to make a cake. Eh, throw some crap into it.
Plastic flotsam.
Yes, exactly. Found this thing on the floor. I don't know what it is. Throw it in the cake. It's fine. It's good luck.
It's good luck.
Yeah. I think it was a cockroach. Anyway, and then king or queen for the day.
Yeah. I've seen a lot more. You know those little pins you can buy from, like, the party store that says, like, it's my birthday? And people go around wearing them on their lapel and stuff. And, like, people like, oh, you know, it's your birthday. Yay. Mm-hmm. When otherwise you wouldn't really know. That way you don't have to go around being like, yeah, it's my birthday.
Right.
You know, fishing for happy birthdays.
Right. Which is just sad. But, you know, it's what you do sometimes.
Yeah, so I've seen that a lot more going around.
Mm, that's interesting.
Like at workplaces and stuff like that.
Right. Well, yeah, we make a big deal of birthdays at my workplace. Like, everybody knows when everybody's birthday is, you get an extra $100 and, like,
shit.
I know, right? What? And then, like, you know, we bring in a cake for everybody. One day of the month will be sort of like the birthday cake day to celebrate everybody's birthday.
For that month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, before we get done with today, there is one other thing about birthdays. And this ties into something that I know a lot of people consider magical. I know almost nothing about this category. So I'm going to let you...
I don't know much about it. We're talking about birthstones, by the way.
Birthstones. I'm not a gem rock person. Not that I have anything against it. It's just, it's not something I've spent a lot of time with.
I am more than you, but not very much. Definitely. Mm. Yeah, I think it's interesting that there's specific jewels that you wear, to go with your birthday. I don't know. Like, there's a power behind it or something.
Yeah, and, like, where does it come from? Who decides it?
I don't know.
Is it just for luck? Is it bad luck if you don't wear it?
Well, I hope not, because I never wear mine. I don't like mine at all. It's peridot, which is that light green.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it looks, ugh, on me.
It's like baby poo green, basically.
Basically. For me. I don't know. Some people love it. Like, my mom loves green. Mm-hmm. But hers is an emerald, which I love emeralds, because they're dark green.
Yeah.
And I would totally wear that, but... Mm-hmm.
Not to disparage the peridot. Actually, I think it's very pretty, but it is that very, very light shade of green.
Yeah, I've never liked it.
I believe it's actually just a green type of garnet.
Is it?
Yeah, I think they're basically the same stone.
Hmm.
And I know my birthstone, or one of my birthstones, is Moonstone, which I've always really, really liked, because apparently it's incredibly bad luck for anyone who does who doesn't have that as their birthstone to wear it.
Really?
Like, there's a book called The Moonstone, which is all about... It was this novel published in the early part of the 20th century, which is all about this curse that travels with this moonstone because people wear it. They're not supposed to. I know. I think it's really cool. Like, so it makes me feel a little more magical.
I love them. I think they're beautiful.
Yeah. But they're, apparently they're very bad luck if you're not born when I was born. I really want to be an April birthday because they get diamonds.
Yeah, screw that.
Seriously, like.
That means you just get, like, cubic zirconia, though.
Well, I think, yeah, that's sort of the substitute.
Yeah, because I used to work at Claire's, you know, like, we do the ear piercings.
Mm-hmm.
And so people come in and get their birthstone for their first piercing. And, yeah, like, it would be cubic zirconia, not diamonds, obviously.
Right. Yeah, because you can't even really do a diamond chip for cheaply enough for most people to afford this as a quickie earring. But, I mean, okay, so... So you've got these different, this really broad range of different stones that you can use.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of moms wear their children's birthstones as well, sort of like a...
Oh, I've seen that, where you'll have the necklace that has all the different children's birthstones in them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's like to have a connection to the children?
Yeah, and just sort of... And most people nowadays know what it is, and they mm-hmm. can say, oh, okay, you know, your children, were, if you know the month of the birthstone, you know, when they were born, or you can just say, oh, you know, you have three children, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not really into gemstones, magically speaking, just because it's never been something that's drawn me in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, birthstones are something that I think, what I think is so interesting about them is that so many people are into them. It's and people that have zero interest, zero connection with magic in any other capacity will wear these things
mm-hmm.
and be really into them. And, like, they've really pervaded our culture. The only other thing that I can think of that has done that from the magical standpoint is astrology. Mm-hmm. Like, people read their horoscopes and they wear their birthstones.
Right.
I think it's interesting.
Very.
Quite.
I don't really know what else to say about it.
Hmm. Well, we don't have to say anything. We've talked on quite a bit.
Yes, we have.
So we can go ahead and get to wrapping up. Before we dive into all that, I would like to say, if we have any writers out there listening, I know we've got... Actually, at least a few of you I know do the NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month. And I'm hoping that means that some of you also write short stories and things like that. There is an open call for submissions by Misanthrope Press. And I'll put a link in the website, or a link in the show notes to their website. They're doing something called Voices from the Cauldron, which are short stories by... Not necessarily by pagans, but sort of about pagan themes. And it looks like it's going to be a really interesting collection. Not to overplay my hand, but I've got something going into it. So
really?
Yes. But they've got an open submission call going on through the end of April. So please go over there. Please check it out and submit. They could really use some good quality submissions. They're trying to put together a really good anthology of sort of pagany short fiction, and they would love to have you throw your hat in the ring with them. And do we have any other announcements?
I don't think so.
Okay. We'll have another show beginning of February.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're tentatively planning. We've got a really cool guest lined up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by the end of February, we'll be back on schedule.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
So, again, sorry for the short break, but...
But hopefully it wasn't too bad for anybody. And, you know, hopefully everybody else was using that time to, you know, ground and center and decompress after the holidays and enjoy having us back. And if you would like to reach us, please feel free to contact us at the website, which is newworldwitchery.com.
No more WordPress.
I know, I love it. We have our own domain.
Yeah. You can also email it's New World Witcher. Oh, no, it's not. I haven't done this. See? We haven't done this so long.
Practice.
It's compassandkey@gmail.com.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Until next time, I want to wish everybody a very happy new year. Say thank you so much. Oh, you know what? We never even mentioned why we decided to do an anniversary show.
Oh, yeah.
We've been on the air, so to speak, for a year now.
Yes, it is our podcast anniversary.
Yes, it's fantastic. So thank you, everybody who's been listening to us this past year.
It has been quite a ride, I have to say. Awesome. It's been amazing. Like, everybody who's written reviews on iTunes, everyone who's emailed us, just thank you so much. It's been so, so great.
It really has been.
Like, the feedback and the reception is so much better than I could have ever hoped for.
I know. We were thinking, like, maybe 10 people would be listening to this by the end of the first year, and, like, we've had a phenomenal response. Yeah. I'm so thrilled about that.
It's been great, so.
And really good quality listeners, too. Like, people really write to us with insightful things.
Mm-hmm. And you know, good questions, and yeah. Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
So thank you all. Happy anniversary, and hopefully we'll be doing this again next year with, you know, even more anniversary goodness. but until next time, thank you for listening.
Be well.
New World Witchery is recorded using GarageBand on Mac. The song you're listening to is Homebound by the artist Jag from Cypress Grove Blues. It can be found on Magnatune.com. Magnatune, your source for PodSafe music.